Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read verses 5 through 10. I'll read verse 5. You read verse 6 with me. But Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 through 10. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we get to gather this morning as your people and learn more about all that you've provided and done for us. Lord, please open our eyes. Let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. So please, we need your help, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Marveled. There's three times in the New Testament where Jesus marveled, and that word means he was shocked. He inhaled sharply. He went, oh, really? Well, when you read this, what is it then that shocks? I know the Lord isn't surprised at anything, but in his humanity, he gives us a glimpse of it. I know God knows the future. I know all that, but stay with the story here. The word marvel means a wonderful or astonishing thing or a cause of surprise and admiration. In a simple sense, the word marvel means to be shocked. So in a parallel passage in Luke chapter 7, Jesus also, when he heard these things, he marveled at him. And then, of course, he said the statement, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. What a statement. There's another time Jesus marveled. Go to Mark chapter 6. Now, we're going to come back here to Matthew 8, so keep your finger there. But go to Mark chapter 6. The truth this morning is wonderfully simple, and it's an encouragement to you. And I think it's an exhortation for all of us. But look at what shocks God. Now, I call the sermon Amazing Faith. But what is it that causes God to look at us like, I can't believe you're doing that. Wow. You would do that? Well, we saw one. It's a faith. Look at the other time Jesus marveled. Look at Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So Jesus amazed and impressed men with his great deeds that we could not do. And yet he himself is amazed when we trust him, and when we don't trust him, that also shocks him. God says, what? Here, let me do it this way. You don't trust me, but I can do anything. There is no belief. There's no, you doubt? I'm shocked. Here, there's two examples in the Bible where men marveled. Okay, now you're there in Mark 6. I tell you what, just go back to Matthew 8 and just listen to me give these examples here. There's two examples where men marveled. And I realize you understand this, but John chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I've done one work and ye all marvel. You say, what was the work that he was referring to? He said, I feed 5,000 people with two fishes and three loaves. He said, and you think that's great? I can do a lot more than that. I spoke the worlds into existence. He said, I do one work, and you marvel? You're shocked? As Jesus got closer to the cross, there's another time when men marveled at Jesus. Matthew 21:19, it says, and when he saw a fig tree and the way he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Man, what a tree to be cursed by your creator. It says, and presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Once again, Jesus says, that surprises you? I speak things into existence. I'm the creator. You marvel at things. Just a thought. When we see somebody do something great, we stand back and say, wow, that's wonderful. Did you know, though, that there's nothing you do that impresses God? There's nothing you can physically do. You say the record for the world's, you know, high jump or long jump or, you know, bench press or, you know, overhead press. God, wow, he deadlifted, I think the world record's 1,100 pounds or something like that, 1,100 pounds. It was just set, I think, last year. God goes, you lifted 1,000 pounds. We get amazed at what people can do that we can't do, but God's not impressed with that. Men are impressed always with great power. You're back there at Matthew chapter 8. Later on, the disciples in chapter 8, look at verse 23. It seems to be like marvel is one of the words used here. Matthew chapter 8 is where Jesus puts his power on display. And he heals the centurion's servant just by speaking the word at the first of the chapter. When you look at verse 23, watch this. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So here's all 12 disciples in the ship. Here's Jesus in the back of the ship. There's no top on the ship. Waves are coming over it, and Jesus is sleeping. Now, I don't know how that happens. I just believe what it says. Then watch. And he and his disciples, verse 25, came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Can you imagine waking up the creator going, don't you know what's going on? Look at the weather. We're all going to die. And they're basically freaking and flipping out. Lord, get up. And look at the Lord's response. It says, and he saith unto them, why are you so fearful? I wish he would have said, what'd you wake me for? Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, I just love this, and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I don't know if you just picture that. Peace, be still. And all the disciples in the ship are going, oh my. It says here, verse number 27, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him? He's the creator. He's the Godhead. So at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus shows them at what he marvels at. And then here, Jesus shows them the difference between what amazes them and him is totally opposite. We know God is all powerful, so therefore he's not impressed with power like we are. Men are impressed with great wisdom and knowledge. It's in John chapter 7. It says here, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They had lifted up high education to the point where they couldn't even appreciate the Lord. What's your degree? You have a master's in what? You don't have a doctorate? How do you, get past the education? Do you not realize who you're talking to? And it says we marvel that you can do something without higher education. That's John chapter 7. Jesus defied the Jews' image of higher learning so many times all through the scripture. You can read Matthew 22, 16 to 22. They marveled at the answer Jesus gave them when they asked him whether or not they should pay taxes. Should we pay our taxes? Jesus knew if he said one or the other, they were going to. So what did he tell them? He said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God what's God's. Pay your taxes and give your tithe. Wow, they marveled at his answer. Men are amazed at, take your Bible, you're in Matthew chapter 8. Let's just look at a few more places here. Men are amazed at great self-control. Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, look at verse 12. Matthew 27 and verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. How much could Jesus have told them and confounded them in their presence? But he said nothing. And they're blindfolding him and punching him, grabbing his beard, ripping it out in handfuls. He's not saying a word. And they're marveling at his self-control. He said he was in control the whole time. He said nothing to stop the suffering that was for our place. And they marveled at his self-control and self-discipline. Men are amazed at self-control. Men are amazed at kindness. Let me just read you these verses here. Psalm 31:21 says, Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Psalm 18, verse 35, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Watch, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Gentleness. Because we're so unkind, when someone displays a little bit of kindness, we're amazed. You know, an illustration could be Bob Hope. He was known as a clean comedian, and he gave a lot of his money to helping servicemen overseas and the comedy that he did. You would think, wow, he doesn't cuss. He doesn't have jokes with filthy sexual innuendos or anything. And he gives his money to the servicemen and he's for America. So many people thought, oh, just because of that, oh, he's got to be a Christian. And yet when you talk to Bob Hope, he would say, I'm my own God. Bob Hope died, went to a Christless grave and he's burning in hell. It's sad. People lift up and they automatically think, wow, if you do this, then you're a good person that's worthy of heaven. And like I said, people marvel. I think kindness is good, but just because you're kind doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Men try to impress God with the same things that impress them. And you see, we're impressed by things we can't do or things that we think are hard to do. How many times have we heard people say, you know, I'm a good person. I'm kind to everybody. I love my neighbor. I'm pretty good. Or they say, you know, I go to church. I've been baptized. Have you ever thought of that? Let me get this straight. That doesn't impress God. So you really think because you're a church member or you go to church or you've been baptized, so because you got wet, that impresses the Creator? That's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. And we actually think that God's impressed because we're members of that church. Some expect their church attendance and membership to impress God so much that he's going to allow them to get to heaven. We expect the God of the universe to be impressed with even great church buildings. Or we expect the God who gave his son to die for the world to be impressed with us for fulfilling our duty to tell others about, look, I'm glad you go soul winning. But that doesn't impress God. Look, a neat verse for all of us to keep in mind. Go to Luke 17. Go to Luke 17. God's pleased when you obey. But do you understand? If you're obeying God, he commanded you to do so. He commanded you to do so. God's not impressed. God is impressed with one thing, but our actions don't impress God. Look at Luke 17. I wish you'd just read this and mark it and think about it later. But Luke chapter 17, verse 7. But which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Verse 10 is what I wish was marked in your Bible. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. What a verse. So you're so impressed with yourself that you think God should give you a bonus or something. And God says you're unprofitable servants when all you do is what you're supposed to do. You're just doing what I commanded you to do. In other words, this is a great verse to help us with our pride. We're impressed with our obedience. God's glad for it, and I think it pleases the Lord. But it doesn't earn you points. Here's what I get amazed at. People will use this obedience to justify this disobedience. I've watched people go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 2 weeks in a row, and then they'll go, ha, see, I've been to church enough, now I can miss. That's the thinking. Well, God, I'm impressed I was in church, you're not? Everybody see that? It blows my mind. You mean, so you justify sin, if you obey God enough, then that gives you the right to do wrong. God says, it's a wonderful word that Jesus taught us. We're unprofitable servants. We didn't gain God anything. Your obedience helped you, but it didn't make God holier or less holier because you didn't do it. Amen? It does not benefit God. There's many things that man can do to please God, but there's only one thing you can do to impress God, and we looked at it this morning. The only time we're amazed is when it's something we can't do. We're only amazed at things we have not yet done or can't. Jesus is amazed this morning at our great faith. There's two places I showed you, Matthew 8 and Luke 7, where Jesus marveled and he said, I have not found so great faith. If you'll just think about that just for a minute, Matthew 8:10 was my text. Jesus wasn't impressed. Did you notice when they said here, he didn't even go himself. He sent servants and he said, go ask Jesus if he'll speak the word because I have a servant that I love and I really, he's near death. I don't want to see him die. And just tell him, I'm not worthy for him to come to my house. I just want him to speak. When they get there, they try to impress Jesus with who this centurion is. He's given money and he's built us a temple. That doesn't impress God. And they said, and so I'm sure Jesus said, and he's where? Well, he said he wasn't even worthy to come into your presence, but just speak the word. And he believes if you'll just give that okay, that his servant will be healed. And Jesus goes, you believe my word that much. I've not seen this. Jesus is, what, 31 years old here? I've not seen this on the earth in 31 years. You really think with me just for a second. You mean you believe if I speak? We think of faith as some, oh yeah, I have faith in God. Yeah, I believe God. What do you believe about God? There's only one thing you believe about God. That's his word. Your faith in God's spoken word is what impresses him. It's not some ambiguous cloud. Yeah, I'm a believer. I believe God. What do you trust about the Lord? Here's what Jesus said. If I've said it, you can build your life on it. You can depend on it. You can trust it. You can. He said, I'm trustworthy. Do you believe what I have spoken? It's amazing how many people in America, they'll respect the Bible. They wouldn't down talk the Bible. But do they believe the Bible? Not enough to obey it. Do you? Let me just drive this home for a minute. What is shocking Jesus is, you mean if I speak the word, this is God's spoken word, right? He spoke this. You mean if I do, God says, you mean you believe that if you do what I've spoken, I'll carry through with my promise. If I asked you this morning, does your faith impress God? I'm not asking you if you're saved, although that's important. I'll get into that here in just a minute. I'm asking you, does your faith in God's word impress God? Do you believe it enough that when the world's mocking it and criticizing it, I believe if I do what God said, because God said it, God will bless me, God will help my family, and God will carry through, and I can go forward. If you do, to the degree you believe, his word is the degree God marvels at you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To think God, I want to help you with something this morning. Let's look at a few places. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews. Go back near Revelation and a verse that is just wonderful. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. When you depend on God and you care what God thinks, that really gets God's attention. They said, it's amazing to me. $30 billion have gone into this Super Bowl and its advertising and activities. Not million, 30 billion. It's the most watched event, and it's amazing. how much of a god sports is to people in America. They'd skip church for a sport, but they'd never skip a sport for church. There's no trust. There's no dependence on God. It's all image-based. Here, watch this. Look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You only know God from His Word. Do you believe God's Word enough to act and do what He said? I know the world is saying this, but if I do what God said, God will bless me. And without that faith, you can do everything else, and this is amazing, and not please God. Did you know I can go soul winning without faith? I can go soul winning because it's right to go soul winning, and because, you know, I'm a Christian, and people are dying and going to hell, but with no faith that God will use it. God says when you go soul winning without faith, trusting me, it doesn't please me. You're going through the motions. I'm glad you are. You know what? When you came to church this morning, did you come in faith saying, it's a command to go to church, it's right to go to church, and if I go, God will give me something to help me this week? That's the faith that you're supposed to come to church. I realize there's some people here, well, I'm here because of them, and I'm here because of them, and if they weren't here, I wouldn't be here, but since they're, I realize all that. But when you come to church, God says, if you do it without faith, I could think of worse things to do with your time, but it doesn't please God. What a verse. Let's just read it one more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What's the one thing that it takes to make God happy? Your trust and dependence on Him through His Word. That's where going to church grows you. You realize, look, all the people that are here this morning, everybody here's got a different need. Everybody here has something different on your mind. Everybody here has a different concern and a different fear and a different... Everybody here has different pressures. There's only one person that can meet those needs. That's God. I could be preaching on Mary had a little lamb. It's fleeced with white as snow. And it went to Calvary and shed His blood so that we might spiritually grow. That rhymes. Now, that's a basic truth from the Bible. Whatever I'm preaching, I'm not the one that meets the needs. When you come to church in faith, no matter what's preached, God, you believe God will speak to your heart through His Word, and you're strengthened because of it. It is that faith that makes you a stronger Christian. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 66. Beautiful verses. I want you to think about this morning. What gets God's attention? What shocks God? What is God amazed at? My dependence and faith in Him. And when I do it all without trusting God, He's not impressed. He's not impressed. I can go through the motions. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 66, it's in the Old Testament, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord. Watch. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says, you know what gets my attention? When you come to church and you're humble, and you humble yourself, and you're contrite, and you know, look, none of us are worthy. We all deserve hell. Jesus died for us, and the only way you'll get to heaven is by His grace through His blood. We all understand that. But when you come to God broken and God, I'm not worthy to be in your presence, and Lord, and trembles at the word of God. God says this, I go, look at that one. That's what gets my attention. You're trembling at my word. I remember Mom Woolston always telling me, she said, every time I get to show a soul how to go to heaven, she said, I tremble with the Bible in my hands. And she was 83 when she told me that. I always thought of her trembling, and I always just thought, I hope I come to God's word trembling. I have God's word in my hand. And God says, when your attitude is right, when you're depending on me, God says, really? You think of my word that much? Then I look to you to help you. Wow, only our faith impresses God. Once again, faith is the one thing that God cannot exercise himself. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think with me just for a second. God's all-knowing, so therefore he doesn't hope for anything. God is omnipresent, so he sees that. It means he's everything. He's everywhere at once. He fills eternity. So he sees everything going on. He knows what's going on, and God, therefore, cannot exercise faith. Faith can only be exercised if something is not seen and not known. Is there anything God doesn't know? Is there any place God doesn't see? God's all seeing and knowing, so God cannot exercise faith. So then that kind of helps me understand. God says, your faith in me is what gets my attention, and I marvel at it. Not because, okay, I know I'm saying, I know there's nothing God can't do, but I think you get the point. Faith is the only thing that pleases the Lord. And let me go back to this. We try to impress each other with things that we have. Our clothing, our house, money and wealth, physical strength, education and knowledge. That's why it's so ridiculous for a man to think, well, if I straighten out my life, then that'll impress God so he lets me into heaven. Really? God didn't mess up your life. You did. Your choices did. So you really think if you make those right that that'll help? That's goofy. That's backwards. No, your faith in God is what impresses God. Let's say I could live a sinless life for the rest of my life. I'm 53 years old, supposed to live till you're 70 or 75. So let's just take it up to 73. Let's say I got 20 years left. 20 years of perfection? Why would that impress God? If I could, and you can't live without sin, but if you could live the rest of your life without sin, let's say if you were Shelby's age, okay? Shelby, you're 15 or 16? 16. So let's do 54 years of perfection. Not one sin. Can you imagine that, Shelby? Wouldn't that be? Yeah, she goes, nope, can't imagine. Think with me just for a second. Whether you're old or young, your perfection doesn't impress God. God says, 20 years of perfection? 54 years of perfection? I've been holy for eternity. You don't impress me. Your good deeds cannot impress God. They help you, but they do not get God's attention. Your faith is what gets God's attention. Faith generally, faith in God's word. Jesus, I've already showed you, marveled because of their unbelief. It's like, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, people watching. I remember one guy going, he was so disappointed, you know, that the receiver didn't catch the quarterback's throw. And I remember him going, really? Really? He missed the stupid ball. He gets $2 million a year and he misses the ball. Give me half of that. I'll miss it for him. It's like a mega disappointment. It's a mega disappointment. Jesus is amazed at our faith. And then this morning, he's also amazed at our lack of faith. At our lack of faith to trust God because God said so. Faith this morning gets God's attention. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Isn't that amazing? God's looking everywhere on planet earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Then, of course, we saw Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. You say, have faith in what, preacher? I'll tell you first, three things. Have faith in God's word. Have faith in God's word. The best way I can say it is, I know people, like I said, I don't think anybody in here would make fun of the Bible or I don't think that's it. But do you believe the Bible enough that if you do what it says, God will help you? And if you aren't doing something that God tells you to do, do you believe if you did it, God would help you? Because if you're not doing it, you don't believe it. And you only obey and do what you believe. Every one of us has areas in our life where we can grow. In our what? In our faith. I need to believe God's word more. I get scared and concerned. I have fears. I need to instead put my faith in God's Word? Do you really believe what it says? If you believe what it says, you'd live it more. It would occupy you to where I don't have to do what everybody's telling me to do. I do have to do what the Bible says. That is the faith that gets God's attention. You say, faith in what? Faith in God's Word. Number two, faith in God's work. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 21 says, after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This next generation coming up, they have to understand God works through preaching. Authoritative speaking of the Word of God. You having a Bible study at home and you praying at home, I'm glad you do, and I can think of worse things to do with your time. But you don't grow as a Christian without the local New Testament church. You can't. That's God's method for the past 2,000 years. You realize the Jews in the Old Testament, they didn't go to church to hear preaching. They heard the Bible read. And a prophet could preach, but nobody was supposed to be preaching unless God told. This thing about coming to church and hearing the Bible preached, this is 2,000 years old. This is established by the Lord. Well, I read my Bible at home. Well, I prayed at home. Here's a classic. I watched Joel Osteen on the TV. Oh, good. He does have nice teeth, doesn't he? I'm glad. That's not a substitute for church. And if this generation, that's why church attendance is depleting in America. Don't say that. Christianity will never die. People's interest in it will. And in America, you're watching it. It's taking place. Islam's the fastest growing religion in the world. Church attendance is going down. This generation better understand God works through preaching. He manifests His Word. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. He manifests His Word. He opens His Word through preaching. That's been the God's method. That's faith in God's Word. A good church goes soul winning and is interested in getting people saved. You should have faith in God's Word, God's will, work. Number three, have faith in God's will. Let me see here. Take your Bible and go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Ready? Romans chapter 12. Faith is so amazing because it is what pleases God. It's what I need to work at. You say, preacher, I don't have that much faith. Have you ever asked God to help your faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then play the Bible in your house. Read the Bible in your house. And the more you have to do and read God's Word, the more your faith grows. And watch this. The less you have to do with the Bible, the less you trust it. It's spiritual food. Romans chapter 12. Ready? Look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've heard me say this for years. God's will for your life is five things at least. It's God's will that you get saved, right? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. It's God's will that you get saved. It's God's will that you go to church. I don't think anybody would argue with that. I mean, isn't it wonderful to be here this morning and say, right now, I'm in the middle of God's will. You could not be more perfect in God's will than when you're in church because you're obeying God. You're trusting the Lord. You could have stayed home, laid on the couch, and scratched, right? You didn't. It's God's will that you get saved. It's God's will that you go to church. It's God's will that you read your Bible. Do you believe it enough to read it? It's God's will that you pray. And it's God's will that you go soul winning. I know that. It's God's will for every person here. But you can only do God's will as much as you believe God's Word. You say, well, I don't do this, 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 or that. It's because you don't believe. You know it. But knowing it and believing it are two different things. Two different things. Faith is what pleases God. Let me end this morning by saying this. To be saved, that's why you have to put your faith in Christ. When you straighten out your life, you don't impress God. When you do good works, you don't impress God. When you're religious, but on your way to hell, you don't impress God. Only faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you impresses God, and only faith will please God and save your lost soul. Amen? That's our message to the world. It's so sad to hear people say, you know, I'm doing this, or I've done this, or here's a classic, I haven't killed anybody or robbed a bank, so therefore I'm going to... What you have done or haven't done. Look, I love making this statement. Before I got saved, there was nothing I had ever done to deserve God saving me. And you know what? Since I've been saved for 34 years, there's nothing I've done since I've been saved that causes me to deserve God saving me. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. He saved me by His grace because I put my faith in His Word. And I'm so glad He's faithful. I hope the message this morning helps you. What is it that shocks God? Really? You trust me? You believe what I've said. You believe what I've said enough that you'll incorporate it into your life? And that amazes me. I'm shocked. I'm thrilled. And I focus on you. Wow, I want God's attention. It only happens one way, your faith in the Bible. Let's pray. Father, please, I wish for you to use this truth in each person. Strengthen us, please, as your people.